Welcome to another episode of Quick Fix, where I, Drew Shulman, invite a guest on the show to pitch a quick fanfic episode of Supernatural based on a monster of the week of my guest's choosing. And this week, I have with me, and I realize now I feel like a supervillain. I'm like collecting the set of all the gate leapers. I have Audra. I see two more, and I'll give you a hint. The third one's not far behind. But if that wasn't enough to introduce, I have the host of the amazing Gate Leapers podcast and fellow podcaster, Matt Watson.
Hi. Hello.
It's really funny how I feel like I said that and I'm like, I've only ever heard you say that.
Yeah.
The introducing yourself myself, thing.
Yeah. No, when you messaged a few minutes ago asking how should I introduce you? I was like, oh, do other people ever introduce me? Do I have to perceive myself now? Oh, come on.
Like, I'm trying to think, when Audra hosted the last episode, did she introduce you then too?
She must have done. Yeah.
I'll have to go back and re-listen to it again. I literally just listened to the Scott Pilgrim episode, and I always find it weird listening to myself, especially like so close to recording. But I enjoyed it. I also realized my wife, who listens to your show sporadically, chose to listen to that episode where I think I called her out for things twice. So she was like, that's how you feel. And I'm like, oh, shit, all the episodes.
I think one of them was cute. One of them was pretty cute as a call out, I think.
Yeah, one was making fun of her food choices. You brought a really interesting premise to this week's episode. And I'm very excited because I feel like every time I do these quick fix, like I do like two or three at a time. Mm-hmm. Somehow someone finds a way to tweak it to like a cooler and more like wide breadth of possibilities than I had anticipated.
Okay.
Like I really thought we would just hit like classic movie monsters or which we've done, or like, you know, folk legends we haven't done before, which we've done. But then I had people bring in villains from other media franchises, which was really fun. And I'll let you introduce to our listeners what we are facing the brothers off against today.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it could be interesting, or it could be that classic thing where other people's dreams are incredibly boring. So I'll just prime your listeners for that. Yeah, when you messaged them, you were like, oh, it could be a monster from pop culture, or like, I think you said like local folklore or your youth or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then for the first time in 20 years, I just thought about my recurring nightmare that I had as a child and how, yep, there was a specific monster to it and there was a specific lore to it and elements that might be interesting and terrifying. We'll find out.
So, I mean, I think for this show and this audience, the idea of like creepy recurring nightmare creature is kind of checking a lot of boxes for listeners, myself included. So will you introduce us to your demon?
Yes, my demon. The only name I suppose I've got for it, which will become clearer as I explain the nightmare, is the Dare Dogs.
So I'm going to be very honest. I believe what I asked you, because like I've started dabbling with the like asking people before we get into the episode. So yes. Like in case I need to research things, I can. And you were just like, oh yeah, the Dare Dogs. And I'm just like, okay, is this a British thing I don't know about? And it turns out, no, it's specifically a Matt thing that very few people knew about.
And look, I can piece together the logical explanations as to where it all comes from and the different areas of my sort of like infant brain, toddler brain. But that might ruin the fun for coming up with the how to defeat the monster and stuff. So maybe that will come along the way. The Dare Dogs.
I like it.
I will explain my nightmare as much as best as I remember it. I've specifically not thought about this in two decades and haven't expressed it, so let's see how it goes. So between the ages of about 3 and 6, maybe like 4 and 7 around, for a good few years in my early childhood, I would have this recurring nightmare where I would suddenly sort of be at the top of the staircase in my house. And at the bottom of the staircase, we had quite a sort of small house, narrow hallway. There was like a brown curtain that was in front of the front door. And I would be at the top of the stairs, almost with like a dolly zoom type thing, like in the movies. I'd definitely not seen any Hitchcock by that point. Where like the stairs would seem longer and longer, and the curtain behind the door would seem further away. But then the curtain would start billowing, and then snarls and barks would start emanating from the curtain. And that would scare the hell out of me enough as it is, just unknown animal noises. But then I'd hear specific dog barks, and within the dog barks was the word dare. And it would be like, I mean, I'll try. It's 9 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, but I'll try and do a growl of like, duh, duh, duh. But in like a dog bark.
Oh, that's mega fucking creepy.
So, and then, you know, it would build to a crescendo. The dolly zoom would go shorter again, and the dogs would seem closer and closer. But I remained at the top of the stairs. And the nights where I would wake up in bed in a cold sweat were sort of horrifying enough. But Drew, as a child, I was a sleepwalker. So,
oh no,
the nights where I would physically wake up at the top of the stairs, I would have what I now know is a panic attack, but did not have that verbiage as a child. And I would just start screaming, and as I suddenly woke up, and for about, you know, that like 20 second window when you wake up and
yep.
dreams seem real, I would feel like the dogs that wanted me to jump, join them, whatever they wanted me to dare to do. They were real. And until about 30 seconds passed.
I am filled with so many questions, some of which are sillier than others,
please.
But like, I think we'll, as we go through the episode, hopefully we'll discover more, but like, did you, like, from your description, you never described the dogs themselves.
Nope.
Were they only ever voices?
Yeah, only ever voices, never actually saw them. I saw the curtain moving, as though it was like their breath or their growls that were causing it to move, as opposed to physically with their, I don't know, big paws. But I don't know if they had big paws. They could have been tiny dogs. I never saw them.
That's like, part of me is like, was this just a bunch of chihuahuas or shih tzus? Or was this like those like super muscular dogs that look kind of like buff for no reason?
Yeah, like a cartoon dog.
A mix. Like a mix of both.
Yeah.
Just like some big beefy dog and like three chihuahua sidekicks. Did it sound like it was more than one dog? It sounds like it was.
It sounded like it was the one dog, apart from when, like, the nightmare would last a little longer or seemingly so. And then it, like, that crescendo I was talking about, it would seem like
mm-hmm.
there was more than one dog. But
ooh.
It could just be the one dog getting louder and louder is the thing.
And I presume, maybe you can correct me, it sounds like the dare was to jump down the stairs and join them?
That's the feeling I get, especially as, you know, the call of the void that people get when they're on tall
yeah.
buildings and cliffs. I don't so much get that when I'm on tall buildings or cliffs, but if I'm at the top of a new flight of stairs, I just have this desire to leap directly to the bottom, even though I know it would break my legs. And I ignore that. Thought, but I wonder if it comes from that recurring dream of the desire to jump.
That it, oh my god, there is like, we need to reschedule this episode with like a psychiatrist
yeah,
to
yeah.
like really break this down and
that.
Like pick it apart. Like, not even like, I don't think you're crazy. I mean, we're all crazy for different reasons.
Sure.
But like, I so want to get to the bottom of this because like, there's so many weird like specific details that are just like, oh, and adding the sleepwalking part to
yeah.
that was just like, didn't see that one coming. So I wonder if you have decided then. So I think within the episode of Supernatural this was taking place in, it would probably be affecting one of the two of them. If not, like, I don't think it would be, I mean, it could be both of them. I don't know, it's up to you a little bit. But do you think it would go after one of them more than the
other?
I
think it would be more classic Supernatural for it to be one of them and the other one is on the outside having to figure out what's going on with the other brother.
True, that does kind of feel a little more like their MO and just TV in general.
Mm-hmm.
So between Sam and Dean, or another character that if you want to throw someone in the mix, who do you think would be affected by
this? Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think more like classically Sam, it feels like. But I find the episodes of Supernatural that are more interesting to me are the ones where the thing that you would think happens to Sam happens to Dean, and they have to like, they learn more about each other and how they handle things when the more sort of like moody, brooding psychological thing happens to Dean and Sam has to be the one to solve it, and the more physical thing happens to Sam. So maybe just for a bit of fun, we'll say it's happening to Dean.
I can even see it going as far as like it's happening to Dean, but Sam is the one who, like, let's just say from when he was in school or something, he has a bit more knowledge of like, oh, like studying dreams. Like, yes, a lot of people think it's a pseudoscience, but like there is some psychological like
yeah.
understandings to be made from it. It isn't it like, is your brain doing stuff? It's not just bullshit.
Yeah.
And kind of doing that thing where we force Dean to like cooperate or try something new.
Yeah, he'd be a more difficult patient, which is makes more drama. That's more fun.
Like, he would not assume it's like, he would refuse to accept it's just in his head it's something bigger or something's external force is affecting him in some way.
Yeah, he'd try and just put his head down and carry on with whatever they're doing at the start of their episode, why they're in that particular town or whatever.
Also, just given, like, context for where we are in the season, we just finished up season 7 editing and recording, Mary and I. So we've just dealt with a good chunk of season 7, which is Sam having hallucinations and nightmares.
Okay.
So, like, if this takes place sometime after that, having Sam also be like the, I know what it's like, I understand what you're going through, I've literally done this.
Yes, this has happened to me.
Could be a good bonding mechanic.
Yeah, I agree.
So I wonder then, how would they defeat it? And by extension, how did you deal with it, I guess?
So I dealt with it through the passing of time and waiting for it to go away and for my brain to be more developed, which I'm aware doesn't make for a good story, as that would be, unless it's a 3-year arc for the seasons. So I suppose we've got to assume it's some kind of demon or possession, because that's really what these, like, monsters within dreams always feel like. Demons. Demon, it always feels like the word that's associated with it. So I don't want to necessarily... I mean, I've watched a few seasons of Supernatural. I've not watched as much as I should have done, considering my partner is Audra. But I would walk us towards maybe some kind of exorcism here, or some kind of ritual of some kind to remove this demon.
I actually kind of like the idea, like, to tie it into your, like, sort of just, like, learning to live with it and, like, grow past it and, like, learn to put it behind you almost. Like, so question then, before I go into my thought, like, you said this happened until you were roughly 6 or 7. Has there ever been, like, a surprise flare up or a sudden, like, they showed up again? Or is it really, like, since you were 7, is it, like, done?
Pretty much as far as a dream goes. Like I said, I still get that feeling at the top of flights of stairs, and I'm good around dogs now, but if one is particularly aggressive, but I feel like everyone is sort of, like, a bit wary of suddenly aggressive dogs, which we all know, bad owners. I guess to add to how it faded away, I found the explanations as to where these things were coming from. Maybe around about 7 or 8, I learned that dreams were just things that you saw in the daytime, kind of thing. So I could give, like, the logical explanations that will have helped it fade away. So maybe Sam has to find the reason for each element of the dream. Mine are very mundane, but his could be more interesting.
Oh, I almost kind of like the idea of, like, they deal with so much supernatural bullcrap that I don't want to say, like, a boring answer, but one that's a little bit more, like, based in reality and science could be interesting. Mm-hmm. So one, we also have Dean having a fear of dogs due to his time in hell and them kind of being an association, these hell dogs. So I even like the idea of, like, the thing that's hitting him is, like, his fear of dogs is invading his dreams and his nightmares.
Yeah.
And they do eventually tie it to, like, a demon or a spirit, or I'm sure with mythology we can find some sort of specific thing that affects dreams that this would make sense for. But even in defeating it, it doesn't get rid of the dreams, because the dreams, like you said, are just part of your memory and your life.
Yeah.
So despite defeating it so it can't physically hurt him anymore, the nightmares still exist, and it's just a matter of learning and growing and living.
Yeah. Maybe to get them to stop, maybe the key thing is to figure out what the dare is.
Ooh. Yeah, true. We really dig into what the dare is.
Because that's the part I never... Like, I could say now what all the logical explanations are for every other element, but I still have none for the dare part.
Which, and you know what? And I'm okay leaving that open to interpretation even in an episode like this. Like, kind of like... I feel like Supernatural does this thing sometimes where, like, they leave a thread and then don't go back to it. Like, they've had a character who just disappears and we allude to them, like, living in Hawaii now. Mm-hmm. And, like, oh no, they're still out there. And I've asked Mary, never comes up again. Or, like, this person secretly has a monster baby and, like, you know, hides it from the brothers, but, like, ooh, she's still pregnant and the baby's going to be a monster. It's never touched on again. So the idea that, like, there is still a lingering mystery and, like, it could just be a thing that, like, fans theorize about forever and just, like, create, you know, a la you when you were younger, Lost Level rabbit holes.
Yeah, sure.
I was like, what could the dare be?
It must mean something.
Analyzing scenes. And like years later being like, oh, someone mentioned daring Dean to do something. Could this be a link back to the dogs?
Yeah. Oh, if I can get if I can get fans to theorize about something that I don't actually have an ending to, that sums me up perfectly.
That just feels like that thing where it's like the studio's like, oh, what do we do? Well, the fans want this. Like, oh, we can go with that, I guess.
The mystery is the story, guys.
And there you go. So I think that also kind of like, because you work as like such a good surrogate for the audience, my next question usually is like, what would we as an audience learn from this? And I think there's a lot we can like discern. Like, obviously you've learned from this experience.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit my biggest fear is that we've like dragged this back up now and the dreams are going to start again.
No, I mean,
and I'm going to feel so bad.
Look, I'll let you know if that's the case, because it will be funny. And I think even if I wake up in a cold sweat, I haven't done any sleepwalking since I was about 9 or 10. So it shouldn't get like max bad.
I'm just saying, if Audra texts me tomorrow being like, why is my partner standing at the top of the stairs screaming about dogs? I'm just going to be like, I'm so sorry. I owe you guys an apology.
It is the fault of the Carrying Wayward podcast.
Oh, God. That's a legacy. I mean, a cursed legacy for our show wouldn't be the worst thing. I think it would give us some more mystique and more mystery than we already have. All of our guests leave cursed. Do you dare join our show? No. Oh, okay. Just pass it up. Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe other stuff to be learned is just the kind of solution we've come up with of just, there's always some logic to dreams, even mm-hmm. if it's dream logic. And it's always, your brain is trying to tell you something or remind you of something or apparently scare the shit out of you.
Yeah. I mean, like, just to be on like even playing ground, I've had that kind of like dream that like I can distinctly recall from a young age, and it was recurring. Mm. It also had billowy curtains in it, which is a really weird detail to share.
They're such big dream imagery. I don't know what it is about them. I don't know if there's just something when we see that as a child for the first time, we think there's no wind in here. Like you don't understand the concept of a draft yet, maybe. And so billowing curtains seem very dreamy, I think.
Yeah, I love that kind of thing. There's another show I listen to called Spirits, and they've got like they do a lot of like listener submitted like ghost stories, essentially, mm-hmm. Or like weird dreams. And there's like this recurring shadow figure who's like described as like very tall, completely silhouetted, but with a hat and usually with a dog.
Okay,
and it's like people being like, "Wait, I've also seen him in my dreams. What the hell?"
Yeah,
and like that weird kind of like. Because, like, how often, like, do you really discuss your dreams, especially now where it's kind of, like, this faux pas of, like, who wants to hear about mm-hmm, your dreams? Mm-hmm. But, I think it's such an interesting thing that there are, like, weird overlaps.
Yeah, oh, that it is fascinating. I'd say it's because we're all connected, like mushrooms are. We all have, like, some kind of connection overlap in our psyche. Or it could just be that we all live on the same planet, and so therefore it's going to produce the same kind of imagery across time. We all absorb a similar culture. I don't know.
I mean, the two great examples of that I always think of when we talk about like our collective consciousness, and it's how often we get that scenario where two movies that are virtually identical come out within like weeks of each other.
Yes.
Ants and A Bug's Life. I feel like there was a few horror movies where that's happened as well, where it's just like something in the world happened to inspire several people to go in the same direction with the same content. Mm-hmm. Or the other really weird one, which is like how many cultures across the world have a Noah's Ark flooding story in their holy text, despite having virtually no connection. Like, what happened or what is there or why is it like this? Like,
yeah.
I think that's also a fun area to kind of like, even if it doesn't become like the answer to the episode, like I can see it being an area Sam explores and at least uses that as like a basis for his logics.
Yeah, like checking to see if anyone else in the town they're in is also having these dreams, and maybe they're not exactly the same, but there's enough overlap to provide the answers. And it's all about looking for the similarities between us as opposed to the differences, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, like the idea that there's like one... My mind goes to the more serious answer of like maybe like billowy curtains is our weird, like everyone seems to describe them for some reason. They stand out in everyone's dreams. Like, why is that? And then the less serious answer is, remind me, how much Buffy did you watch?
I've not seen a ton of Buffy. I've seen a handful of episodes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember if it was one of the shows you'd watch more thoroughly. But there is famously an episode where it's in everyone's dreams, and the one consistent thing in the dreams is this little bald guy serving cheese.
Okay. That's very Lynchian.
And, like, just at the end of the episode, one of them offhandedly remarks about the cheese guy, and they all go, like that look of, like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, we all know exactly what you mean.
So, did everyone see the billowing curtains? Wait, we all saw the billowing curtains? And then that's the key common thing that helps exorcise the demon?
Yeah, like it helps them find wherever it is. They realize there's, like, a shop in town like the curtains are... There's a curtain store. That's the thing. Honestly, for Supernatural, that seems about as logical as it gets.
Yeah. They've just got to stop by curtains, and more curtains to exorcise the demon who's chilling out in the back.
I'm sure there's something like, oh, this curtain's made of a fabric that was taken from like a holy shrine in some country. Yes. We've disturbed the spirit of it.
That would be the Supernatural way.
That's it. Another culture we could steal things from, because that's the American television way.
Absolutely.
So I guess, like, I like the idea that we ultimately do meet this demon, and yes, he runs a curtain shop. And that was the fun part. Do you have a particular, like, celebrity you'd like to see cast in this episode?
Oh, interesting.
Whether they be the demon or, like, just another civilian who becomes involved?
Okay, that is interesting. And I do remember you asking this in Audra's episode, but I'm really bad at thinking of things on the fly. well, we'll say he's got to be someone. I think it's got to be English, because it's my dream. It's in England. Let's say it's set in America, but let's make it someone English who's running this store. Big character guy, and it's kind of comedy because it's curtains, and curtains. So let's say Michael Sheen.
That would be
a
so
creepy
good.
Curtain store owner who's a little bit eccentric and also a demon.
Oh, I love that. That is, I'm rewatching 30 Rock, so like nice. I've recently had him being the really boring British guy that he plays. Yes. So I'm just picturing like the most like down to earth, boring, like in a town where like so much like kind of this weird energy that no one can really place their fingers on. The most dull guy in town is like the least. Like, the fact that nothing's happening to him is the weird thing.
Exactly. All he has is billowing curtains. That's the only mysterious thing about him.
I love that. It's just, like, billowing curtains, like, there's ghost jokes we can make there. Like, you're definitely going to have him, like, running around with a sheet over his head like a ghost at some point, because why not?
Yes.
Oh, I do love this. And, like, the fun thing, too, is, like, we built a fun episode. There's a decent mystery. But, like, I still want to know what the dare is. I still want to know, like, what other weird shit. Like, I'm waiting for a listener to, like, get back and being like, I also had a weird recurring dream with billowing curtains. And, like,
I mean,
two's a coincidence, three's a pattern.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. We need to talk more about these billowing curtains. They're clearly a thing within our society. Wake up. No.
Yeah, no, please get back to us on those.
Yeah. I mean, I could explain the sort of logical reasons for everything else to make the dare part even scarier, because I have no explanation for that.
Do it.
So behind my house, there was like a small alleyway where behind that was a big house, which I think was turned into apartments. But anyway, the key thing is that there were two dogs behind this fence that would bark whenever I walked the length of the alleyway. And there were no holes in the fence, so I couldn't see these dogs. And so the idea of, like, barking dogs that I cannot see very much comes from just within my own proximity. Again, the curtain itself, very thin hallway, a draft would regularly circulate, and that's what caused it to billow in the daytime, and then billow more violently in the night times. And there was also, weirdly, before some kind of kids BBC thing, there was, like, a trailer on a VHS I had for an adaptation of The Hound of the Baskervilles. So that could be where like scary, scary dogs come from. But why are they saying dare? What are they daring me to do? And is this why I have an anxiety disorder?
It's like, to me, it really does feel like as silly as it sounds, just to be like, they're daring you to like dip into that, like that dark thought in your mind of like taking that leap forward. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like that, like what is the word we were just using before with
Call of the Void?
The Call of the Void. Thank you. My brain just couldn't put that together. I kept going Uncanny Valley. I'm like, wrong, weird phenomenon.
The Call of the Uncanny Valley would be a nightmare.
Oh God, never jump in there. Jesus, I'm bad enough with dolls and mannequins. Fuck. Hate those things. Oh man, that is, I like this. This is a really good episode. Like, I think it's like a self-contained like plot with kind of like just letting us play with some cool mysteries and just getting some like, I like the idea of like cutting into like, you never know if what you're watching is the dream sequence until something happens where you're like, damn it, that was a dream.
Yeah.
And like it doesn't transition into it. It's just sort of like suddenly the scene you were watching, it turns out was a dream. And like, how far back was it not a dream? And whose dream was it? Like,
Sam,
I could see a lot of like playing with that.
Sam picks up about halfway through the episode that he knows it's a dream or not by the existence of billowing curtains or not.
Yes.
So he can kind of then start to solve the mystery for Dean, who's a bit more trapped in it. Yeah. Yeah, I can see it being like a good mid-season story, maybe a lower rating on IMDb, but some hardcore fans like it, you know.
That's it. It's, you know what? I feel like the self-contained episodes, the one-offs, like, they do a good job in either being like very self-contained and just letting us like have growth with one character or the pair. Like, most recently we had an episode that dealt with Sam's fear of clowns and was like a surprisingly great episode despite being very self-contained for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But like, one, it had an actual clown brawl, which is the best thing on television, that results in them exploding into glitter when they die.
Fantastic.
Like a Power Rangers villain almost. But it really let us deal with like Dean's, you know, trouble with like being a youth and having like a distant parent, and Sam's trouble of like having distance, his, you know, parental figure like removed and like being shoved into these like places where it was meant to be like fun and joyful, but now he associates clown with like depression.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does a great job. So, like, an episode like this, I definitely feel would be one of those, like, cult classic-y ones.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love that. That's what we're going for.
That's it. Screw, like, a bigger picture. I want a cult classic. I want the episode people reference in, like, 30 years for some weird essay in college.
Yeah. That would be ideal for me. And then just most people review it with, like, it's just kind of boring hearing about that guy's dream.
But Sheen was so good in it. Well, Matt, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence today and sharing with us both an amazing episode plot and, like, your deep, dark dreams and, like, nightmares of childhood. You know, casual podcast fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was good to relive a nightmare that I hope does not return this eve.
I really hope it doesn't, please. I'm going to be like, wake up tomorrow morning and check my messages and hope there's nothing from you. At least not about this. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yes, I am the host, the games master of the Gate Leapers podcast. It is a game show podcast where each episode we leap into a different fandom and play a series of games, sometimes new, sometimes similar. But yeah, we just have fun in that fandom. Don't take it too seriously. It's like, you remember the Zoom quizzes that we did during the pandemic? It's like that, but entertainment.
Honestly, it is such a fun show to be a part of. Getting to do more episodes despite my inability to win anymore now that I'm officially a cast member is a weird thing, but that's my curse to bear.
You are such a fantastic entertaining player, Drew. That's what really matters.
That's what I take solace in, is people have fun when I'm around, even if I can't win. I'll be linking the show and a few select episodes, maybe the ones that I've been
definitely.
In the comments below. And I encourage all of our listeners to check it out. As I tell everybody, pick an episode with a fandom you know, likely Supernatural, and you will end up binge listening the entire series within a week. Well, Matt, thank you very much. You've been listening to Carrying Wayward Minisode. We hope you enjoyed, and please let us know your thoughts on Twitter, X, Instagram, whatever social media you choose, using @CarryingWayward. And until next time, carry on, our wayward friends.